Blog Talk Radio.
And I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, if you want to find out about the radio show and the other radio shows and everything that we have on, you can go to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am. I've had some trouble being here tonight. My headset wasn't working, but I'm here now. Everything's good. How are you, Mark?
Good. I was just panicked there for a second. I'm like, where did you go?
No, I'm here. It's beautiful down here in Florida. I'm gloating a little bit because I know how painful it is in the rest of the country. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm actually moving again.
Where are you going?
You know, I'm going to live in Orlando, Florida.
You're coming back to Florida. How wonderful.
Yeah. I'm gonna live with my dad for a little bit.
Well, that's great. Maybe we'll get a chance to see each other again. It's been a while.
Yeah. We'll put us in at least the same state together again.
Exactly. Well, tonight we have a wonderful show. We have a woman with us. Her name is Teresa Lepuy, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm French, so I'm French and American, and this looks like a French name, Teresa Lepuy. And Teresa is a gifted inspirational teacher whose lectures, workshops, and one-on-one sessions clearly display her passion for helping others. She's just written a book called Explore Your Sacred Truth, which sounds extremely interesting, and she makes herself available on all kinds of social medias for people seeking help or assistance from her, as well as a live weekly radio show. So I can't wait to talk to her. You're going to hear from her just like I am because I haven't had a chance to talk to her in the beginning of the show. Teresa, you want to say hello to our audience?
Hi, Pam. Hi, Mark. Hi, everybody out there. Hope you all are great.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it was great. It was great having you on, and we were kind of chit-chatting before the show started, so
We were chit-chatting a little bit, and Mark was telling me a little bit about his background, and I was listening. And we didn't get a chance to chit-chat, you and I, Pam, because you were having some trouble with your headphones. So please, tell
some
me a little bit about
difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Okay. we'll make it sound like that. That's cool. I can rock like that. So tell me a little bit about yourself as far as spiritually goes. Are you also gifted in, well, everybody is gifted, but are you practicing your spirituality now?
Yes. I'm a medium, and I do mediumship readings for people.
Wow, that's great.
And I've also taught, that's really how I started, as a spiritual teacher and trainer. And I give webinars and seminars, and I'm doing a retreat on the 22nd of February. called Leading a Fearless Life, and with my good friend, Dr. Kelly Brady. And it's actually the first workshop or seminar that I've ever done with someone else. And it's
fabulous.
Only because she's so brilliant, yeah. Thank you for asking. So tell us about you.
So I am also in the new paradigm movement, as I call it, connected with oneself, teaching and guiding. And I really don't like to use the word teaching so much because not only, you know, when you teach, you are also the student. So every day you learn and every day you exchange. So it's collectively coming together with humanity and striving for the betterment of humanity. And one of the things that you said really resonated is you're doing a workshop that your theme behind it is fearlessly approaching. Well, sort of mm-hmm. the same thing with me. When I am with clients or I'm doing shows, we also believe that you fearlessly have to go within yourself to connect with your true being. And that's not always difficult to do. So we take a hands-on approach of guiding individuals, and mostly what I do is I'll share experience, and I also channel, and I also read and things like that. But the depths to getting into oneself is really the individual has to do the inner work. Don't you guys agree with that? How
Absolutely.
Do you guys feel about that? Because it's something
that...
Yeah,
I do.
And it's a difficult thing to do because it's very... sometimes we don't like to face our own fears or anything that's going to cause some kind of uncomfortability. But when we learn to let the emotion surface and resonate through us and release it, we have much more clarity on things that are happening around us. And I strongly feel in my own particular experience that, you know, there are many great guides out there. There are many great books, but really your own principle starts to come forth when you start to accept and explore the possibilities within your own zone, and that's your inner self. So that's basically why I wrote the book. I wanted to take an easy, non-traditional approach, and I didn't want to leave any cliffhangers because in so many books there's a lot of cliffhangers, and then people get very confused. So what I wanted to do was take that hands-on approach to give the individual who's seeking the tools that they could start developing for within themselves, because I truly believe we all have taught divine tools, and, you know, humanity has the opportunity now with the shift to raise it, to raise their vibrations, to raise to other dimensions. This way, as we're shifting in a new paradigm, people are collectively coming together, and they're part of the solution in order for the change to occur. So that's how we rock it my way.
Okay, wonderful. Teresa, let me stop you there, because I know that some of our audience is right with you, and perhaps some of our audience needs a few questions answered about what you just said.
Okay.
So I want to back up a little bit and clarify things. First of all, the whole idea of a cliffhanger, from my perspective, is when you're reading a book and you get to the end of something and it just kind of leaves you hanging, sort of setting you up for the next book or setting you up for the next lesson. And I want you to clarify what a cliffhanger is. The
Absolutely.
Second thing is mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you about the shift. And explain the shift to our audience, if you would.
Okay. So you said, actually, you explained the cliffhanger perfectly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly, that's what I mean in a lot of spiritual books. A lot of books give you just so much, and then it stops you for the next book. This book gives you the tools that you need to start it and continue your development, and you're not waiting for the next book to continue on. So we made it quite simple with that, because I have read many books. I know it must have happened to at least 35% of the audience. You read a book and you are expecting to do these exercises and you were expecting to have like almost an instant gratification and you left and you feel confused. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to give you the tools to start for your inner development and know that as you work it, what's going to happen, the experience that makes you seem quite insane is really normal as you are beginning to go into different levels of consciousness, higher frequencies, connected with one soul. There's many, many different names that people connect this type of experience with. So we wanted to give a no-nonsense, hands-on approach, but to make you feel totally comfortable and at ease with yourself, this way there was no confusion. And as far as the shift goes, we believe in the spiritual community that the earth is shifting and that people are coming together collectively for global change. And in order to do that, you have to discuss, raise awareness, actually act in your communities to bring out change, because you can't change if nobody comes together and implements change. Now, it's a process because everybody has to agree, whether they're a believer in spirituality or not, that globally the world is suffering. So many people are coming together in clusters, spiritual people, and you guys probably are witness to this, and they're taking active change. You know, they're active in change, they're active in educating, they're active in doing their part in the community to raise awareness so people, when they begin to shift, they know that this transition is a unity of humanity. So it's a long way, but that's what, you know, it's really about. I don't know how you guys view it, but most do, from the small voice to the most renowned voice, because all agree that a change has to occur. Otherwise, humanity cannot sustain itself. That's how we rock it. I know that everybody's view is different, and I respect it, but more and more people who are coming together really are now shifting for the betterment of humanity. So what do you guys think about that? Because, you know, everybody's view is different, and as much as you learn from me, I learn from you.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting because you see exactly what you're talking about, but at the same time, you do see a lot of people that are either not awakened yet or are kind of still trying to figure out where their path is.
Absolutely, and that's going to be happening in 2014 as well. There were people from the start of 2012, and what tripped people up in 2012 is that they were actually expecting a sci-fi movie, everything with the... They were expecting maybe a doomsday. They were expecting this great bang to come, and they weren't really aware what the shift was and how it was occurring throughout the universe. Because as we're expanding, the universe is expanding, and there are changes throughout. And a lot of people were awakened, and it was baptism by fire, because now all these things were happening within themselves, and they were like, are we crazy? And, you know, this knowing is here. And then there was clusters who went through it. And now 2014, as you said, Mark, a lot of people are not awakened, but they're going to become awakened almost instantaneously. And the people that were on the front lines, or the people who have already began their awakening, will help in the transition, because many people are confused when these things happen and they feel alienated, because if you're all conditioned by religion or if you're conditioned by a certain way of doing things, it's very difficult when you feel a change and you don't have any support. So it's kind of like a conveyor belt where, you know, we're all going along and we're unifying to assist one another. And you're totally right. I agree with you. You know, it could be very scary, Mark. And, you know, people that are not awakened, they need a little guidance. And they want to learn. So that's what we do. We educate, we teach, we come together, and we also learn as we're exchanging, because there's things that are also, we're ever expanding. And as we go through one change, then another change comes, and we're collectively going to a higher frequency. and then how you your truth is definitely your own, because you're experiencing your own. And I'm a big advocate of that, that no matter who's guiding or speaking or whatever the situation is, always become thirsty for yourself and dig what resonates within you, because you're definitely your own master. So don't get hung up on everybody else. You know, take the information, explore it, expand it, and then continuously work on yourself, because you're ultimately responsible for your own spiritual development. That's how,
Teresa.
You know, yes.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I have a quick question.
Sure.
About this shift, because my concept on it, and I wanted to ask you if it was the same as yours. My concept on it is the back in the 80s, we had the harmonic convergence.
Okay.
Back in the 60s, you could hear about it in, like, the Age of Aquarius song, and it was coming for a long time.
Correct.
And the 80s, in the late 80s, I think it was 87, there was this harmonic convergence, which was a mind opening, which was explained all the drugs in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
this concept of opening your mind. And then 2012 became the heart opening.
Yes.
And it's a slow process to open humanity to themselves. What do you think about that?
I actually think that you're right. It, from the 80s, everything started to unfold and evolve. And in my own perception, and I'm not, you know, my own perception of things is that, as you said, you have to start somewhere, and it is a process. And the process in the beginning seemed very slow because it was almost taboo to people, because we've been conditioned for so long that anything that was out of sync with what we were taught was foreign to us. But as people start to evolve, and as, you know, governments started to really, I call it almost like an enslavement of humanity, because the economic times that we live in are so hard. There's constant warfare. People began to search. And as technology grew and they measured the actual field around the heart really gives off, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's 160 or 100 degree radius around the body. So that's either one of the two numbers is the accurate numbers, and that's huge, because your mind logically thinks, but if you feel your way through your heart, there is clarity. But we're so inhibited as a species that we don't want to get into all those things with feeling, because we don't want to get burned, or maybe we loved once and we got hurt, or we teach to guard our feelings, or we teach not to trust. But I do believe from my own experience, especially within the last year, that everything does center around the heart and unconditional love, and that's the most simplest words to spit out, but the most difficult emotion to freely set free. And that's how I feel about it, and I'm sure there's many viewers that feel the same, because in research and in talking to people, they do. But there's, like you said, people are just awakening and they're a little confused. So all these things are rushing up in oneself. And what do you do with it? How do you release? How do you expand? How do you learn? So it's like unlearning all the learning and relearning and expanding from there and being open-minded. So you.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. Because
okay.
I want to go in two directions at the same
right.
time. First, I want to find out how... what your path was, how you came to this level of awakening. And
okay.
secondly, I want to explore a little bit about the premise. We've talked a lot about different things, a lot of, you know, the shifts in consciousness
mm-hmm.
and the heart shifting and people awakening. I'd like to know what the premise is of the book, like what the foundational ideas are and in what direction you would like to take people.
Actually, the direction that I would like to take people is that, and I would like people to become aware that once you are unlocking a higher consciousness in you, that you have to be prepared to do the work. You have to be prepared to be open-minded, because you're exploring things now that may or may not be foreign to what you're used to living with. And I want people to know that it's not as frightening as you think. And although the road sometimes gets rocky, when you continue on and you have this, I'm going to say, need, zest, a passion for uncovering who you truly are and living within your own domain and feel comfortable with, that the key principles are: you must be willing to be open. You must be willing to expand. You must be willing to do what resonates within you. And when it gets uncomfortable, and it will get uncomfortable sometimes, you have to make the decision, do I continue forward because I have a knowing in me that goes beyond what I could even see, or do I stop dead center and not continue on because I can't do it? So it's almost an encouragement type of thing, not to stop, to keep going, because these very uncomfortable feelings that you might encounter when you are beginning, they do subside as you come more in your own, as you release, as you go to each step. So it's a combination of talking real. It's not a combination of saying, you know, a positive mantra and everything is going to be, you know, okay. It's like, okay, things will get better and things will come into full fruition, but you have to be prepared for the journey. That everything you expect, don't expect. Because when you expect something to play out somewhere, the total opposite happens. So does that answer your question?
It does. You know, let me clarify a little bit for our audience, however, because you mentioned a few times, you mentioned, you know, you can't be afraid to do the work.
Yes.
And I'd like the audience to really, and myself as well, I'd really like to understand what the work is in your concept of the work.
The work is going inside yourself and connecting with who you truly are and letting that soul connection between your spirits and self come into fruition. And sometimes,
so is it a question of dropping defenses and being as authentic and honest with yourself as possible?
You can look at it that way. Yes, you can look
okay.
at it.
Okay, how would you say it? How would you phrase it?
I would say you have to be real to yourself, and you have to be willing to take away the mask that we all at one time or another put on because we don't want to go against the grain. And that's a difficult thing
okay.
to do. And
I think that's great. Also, I think that people put defenses up because everybody taps into the same sort of mental viruses of not being good enough, lack, you know, the betrayal, abandonment, those kind of things that we all tap into at some point. And then we build defenses up so that nobody sees that.
Correct.
And I think the time has come, as far as the heart opening, where people, it's really come to a necessity in order to grow, in order to be, to let your heart be open, you need to drop those defenses. And I think that's what you're saying.
Bingo. That's really, that is it in the nutshell, because, you know, this new order is based on, and I'll just say it like that, just to paraphrase. Everybody has a different
mm-hmm.
way of saying it, so, you know,
sure.
we'll just go with that for now. This whole paradigm is based on love and cooperation, and those are the most two difficult things to do in a society that we live in globally in modern times to put forth, because, as you said, we're conditioned and we're taught so many things. So why would I want to cooperate, the majority I'm talking about, when if I do, economic crisis, I don't want to put myself up for any hurt. I don't want to feel vulnerable. What happens if I let my guard down and I go from this place of heart, this place of purity, and things don't happen? So, as I stated before, the most simplest words to utter out of your mouth become the most hardest, because as you begin to practice and as you begin to, and one of my favorite things to say is to peel away, you're faced with what we just discussed. And now the human mind rather block it out or reject it rather than just let it resonate and let it surface. And, you know, if you have to cry, if you have to laugh, if you have to go outside where nobody sees you and just scream on top of your lungs, you know, we're like, oh no, we can't do that. But it's good to do that because that's the healing process. And in order to reach that state of love, we have to heal as a collective species. So yes, I do agree with you there. And we are beginning to do that. We are seeking. Millions of people around the world are seeking. They're going out. They're doing workshops. They're coming together with their fellow brothers and sisters, and they are putting this all on the table because the very things that we were conditioned to no longer serve us because it's going out of control. It's horrendous. And how could humanity really last? It won't. It's too much. So we're going back to old basics, which, as you say, takes time to get there. We're on
the
mark.
Tell me something.
Sure.
Tell me something, Teresa, and this is just something that I've been thinking about lately, and I'd kind of like to get your opinion on it.
Sure.
You know, there's this concept in psychology and in spirituality as well that says that you cannot, we're pattern matchers. We match patterns in our mind,
mm-hmm.
and so you cannot recognize anything that you don't know exists. Like there was this story. There's a story about Christopher Columbus arriving in the West Indies, and his ships were out there, but the Indians couldn't see the ships because they never knew that such a thing existed. So they'd look out on the horizon and they'd see the changes in the water, but they couldn't see the ships.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept of not being able to see things that you can't match a pattern to
mm-hmm.
is fascinating
because
I've been thinking lately that is it possible that we're moving in a direction that we can't match a pattern to? And so that's why we have to slowly open up to catch glimpses of these new patterns. What do you think of that?
I think that, you know what, that's your truth, and I think that if it resonates in you, it's something that you should explore. I also believe that because anything about the spiritual path, I'll phrase it a little differently, anything that you think is logical totally becomes illogical, and you think that you're insane, but you're actually totally normal because this is something that is an emotion and a belief that goes beyond what we could see, touch. So, yes, the paraphrase is the same, and I do agree along those lines because when you're open to possibilities, you're open to things that are unknown, things that you're not used to. So it's kind of like surfing a wave. When you just get on that wave, it could be like that adrenaline rush and like you're on that wave and it's scary, but you know when you want to ride it. And then once you start surfing, there's something that, you know, you become calm and you enjoy the ride and there's a knowing that you're just going to ride it out. So I kind of paraphrase it that way. But, yeah, you have to be willing because this is something now that goes so much beyond what we're accustomed to. And if you believe
that's a great analogy.
Thank you.
Tell me, Teresa, are you working on anything right now? Do you have workshops going?
Yeah,
I know you have your book.
I'm going to start doing some workshops. I do a lot of clients one-on-one. I do a lot of – I don't do a weekly radio show. Let me correct you. My colleague and mine do a weekly video show. I've been on many radio shows, constantly using social media. I will be writing another book. And, yes, for 2014, Expansure is totally on the way to do workshops, to get out there, to collectively come together and speak and what we can do. So, yes, I have all these things that are coming up, and however they play out, they play out. So that's how we roll these days.
Well, that's great. Mark, why don't I give you a chance to do the break for the show, and then Teresa can jump in and give her websites and that sort of thing.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. So I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We are on the air every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of this interview, you can get the links for that and find out about the other shows at our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Therese, I know we up on. Let me just start by saying, if you go to the website and scroll down, you'll see I put the Facebook, the Twitter, the YouTube, the blog, and the email and phone number contacts on the website, but why don't you go ahead and share what you consider to be your main link for people to get to you?
My main link right now is through Facebook and then via Skype, and my website is under construction, and all the information, my telephone number is there, my blog is there, my Twitter is there, so easy to access, and once the website is fully operational, I will then share the address, because nobody likes going on a website and then once they click it says under construction. So we'll leave that out for now.
Go ahead and give out your Facebook, because the link I have on the website isn't working.
Okay, it's T. LaPree. And when you click on, you'll go to either my personal page. You don't want my personal page. You just want to go on the link that says Teresa LaPree, Spiritual Teacher, and then you could connect right there. You could always message me, and, you could get me through my YouTube channel. So there's a few ways. So Expansion is in the future, and it's coming soon.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right, so that's wonderful.
And my book actually is on Amazon. So anybody who wants to order the book, they just click onto Amazon and they key in Explore Your Secret Truth and it will come out and they could actually buy it hard copy, paperback, and on Kindle. So we have a few ways that you could read the book, whichever suits you. I'm a good old-fashioned paperback in my hand. I know the Kindle is a big thing for a lot of people, so we accommodate you all in that way, too.
That's good. That's where I am, too. I have to have the book in my hand.
Yeah.
It feels better that way.
Yeah, I can't help it. That's how I roll.
Tell me about the book itself. Are there... I'm assuming, based on what you told us, that there are exercises in the book, something that takes you on a journey.
Yes, they're basic exercises of how you can connect with yourself, and then there's then we go into a little depth, when you go in a little deeper, how some people may experience A, some people may experience B. Like, some people connect instantaneously, and some people don't. They have to work on it. Whether their concentration is a little lower or whether they just, belief is a big thing too. For me, I have colleagues, like you say, you're a medium. So you hear voices, correct? You hear spirit speaking to you? Is that how?
Well, it depends. It depends. If a person has lived on this plane before, it depends on how they communicate. Sometimes I hear voices. Sometimes I see pictures. Sometimes I get blasted with emotion. It just depends on how they communicated when they were here.
Okay. So for me, that doesn't really happen to me. I don't really everything for me is almost telepathic. And now visions are just starting to open up to me, but my main, when I channel, I'll just I don't even know how it happens sometimes, to be candid with you. People say, well, how does this happen and who connects? And I'm like, I have to be honest with you. It just happens. So I always refer to it as telepathic because it's just the knowing, and it's like whether then I automatically am typing out the response or I'm just like then speaking. So we go into the different ways that people, you know, begin to fine-tune their own tools that they have within them, and we make it a point to say, you know, everybody is different. So don't expect that when you, and I'll use this just for example purposes, that when you are first going into development that, you know, you're going to see an angel. Some people don't see angels. So then we go in to say, okay, you hear this knowing, it's just a knowing, or usually it's your own voice that's answering you back, but it's just really, it's your subconscious, and that's the clarity, and you have that intuition that that's the right emotion to go with, or that feels so right. That's usually your first step. So we want to tell people that there's no one way to get to your own divinity, and there's no set of rules. People develop at their own pace, and some people it kicks in faster than others. But when you have this knowing that resides deep in you, and you know that there's something more beyond that what you can see as you keep up the meditations, as you keep up the breathing, as you walk in nature, as you just sit quietly and listen and be in the now, and that's another hard thing to do, then everything begins to manifest. And be aware, because this is your experience. It's not the experience of anybody else's. It's unique to your own. And that usually is the most potent experience. And people are doing it because they want to become comfortable with who they are. They want the mask to be off. And I think that's a great thing, because once the mask comes off, then you can live totally in peace within your own being. And then when you're at peace with your own being, then everything seems to roll smoother because you're not preoccupied or you're not hung up with what people think you should be, because you're actually coming from a place of heart because you're living freely. You're flowing freely like the water. You're not behind the dam.
That's very well said.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about your journey. You're talking about how everybody develops differently.
Oh, my journey is...
Tell me about how you developed.
I developed probably baptism by fire. I'm going to express it as cold turkey, because I have this, and I'm still on my journey, and I'm still unlearning, and I'm still, you know, cleaning up remnants, and I'm still expanding. But I actually, I'll give you an analogy. It's like rising from the ashes. The phoenix rises, and the phoenix flies. But before the phoenix flies, you know, it takes flight. So actually for me, I really had to break down many barriers, and I really had to do major shedding. And I'm going to say a lot of my shedding came in 2013, where everything was always spiritual. I always had it, but this last year, my perceptive of things even 6 months ago are so different than they are now, because I was willing to go through every harsh emotion and really take a look at myself and go to that place of void. And that's very difficult to do. I still trip up, guys, because I'm still striving to get where I need to go. And every day I work on it. And there's days that it's just smooth sailing, and there's days that I have difficult days. And, you know, I'm with my hair up in a ponytail, and I'm shedding, and I'm crying, and I'm bringing that emotion, and then I'm getting clarity, and then I'm going back to that place of void. Then the answers are coming, then I'm developing more. So for me, to get to the place that I am now, I really worked hard on it. I really went to the extreme. And I don't recommend that for everybody, because everybody does it differently. I say, do what's best for you and just keep on even when you feel like you can't, because we get those days too. Any spiritual person gets those days. Any spiritual person that says that they don't, I could become a little leery of, because then I'm like, whatever your truth is, whatever your trip is, whatever your hang-up is, whatever you're looking to shed, we don't have to get into that, because pain is pain, happiness is happiness. If you tell me it's completely smooth sailing, then I'm saying, all right, I totally missed something here, because I was willing to go to the ashes to rise. And that's the truth of it.
That's wonderful. Well, it's wonderful that you've been so persistent and consistent in your growth. Tell me how you would recommend to our audience to release the pain. In, say, for example, you hit a wall, you're in a situation where you feel yourself defending yourself. You feel yourself, your ego is kicking in and you want to be right, or you're righteous, or you're choosing to be right instead of kind, or you're, whatever the situation is, you know you're not being your authentic self. How do you find the spot that hurts and release that?
You know, that is almost a catch-22 question, because it happens in people differently. But I think the authentic part of it is that when you hit that stumble and when you hit that block, but you know you want to go forth, stop a minute. If you need to stop, stop a minute. Come back to center, face that fear, and then once you go in again, you know, let whatever the emotion is, whether that's fear, whether that's anger, whatever that emotion is, let it rise. And that's difficult, because you have to feel that pain. And we don't want to feel pain. Do you really think that I wanted to feel some of the pain that I felt? I certainly did, and I wish I could have been a genie and blinked it away. But then once it rises, and then you're like, you know what? It's coming to the surface, and it's not so bad, and I could release this, and this was a lesson, and what did I learn of it, and what triggered in me? It dissipates. It starts to dissipate, and then you get to a place where you're in balance. And then tomorrow something else might trigger it. So like I said, the unexpected, you know, never expected because the unexpected happened. But when you are in awareness, you're able then to almost catch the emotion and let it resonate. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's the best way that I could paraphrase it to you, to give you sort of a visualization of what my own experience was. And what I find most people do, because once, you know, it's okay. You know, people want to be listened to. It's okay. I got you. I understand you. You're not in this alone. And I think that that's an important thing now on the journey for those of us who have taken that course of cold turkey or baptism by fire. Be compassionate.
That's lovely. Can I share a story with you something that's happened to me recently?
Yes.
Well, I have a son who is 21 years old, and he's generally a really good guy, but I've been worried about him lately because I feel like he's hanging around a new crowd that's maybe not who I would like him to be around. The energy is lower. It just didn't feel right, and I started worrying about him.
Okay.
And I worried about him, and every time he didn't come home exactly on time, I'd worry about him, and I'd think, oh, maybe he's taking drugs, or maybe he's doing this, and then I'd step back and say, you know, I have to trust him. He's always been a good guy. But then yet I'd get sucked back into that and worry again.
Yeah.
And it was 2 days ago when it's almost like you pop up to the surface, and you say, wait a minute, what the hell am I doing?
Absolutely.
Because when you worry about someone, it's almost like you force them into that box.
Yes, and you create a negativity around it, yes.
Exactly. You force them into that box, and they become more like that, even if they don't really want to be. So when I realized what I was doing, I backed up and I wrote a new beingness for him, just like I would do it for myself. I'm so happy and grateful now that Dylan is a strong, healthy man who contributes so much to his life through passion. And I wrote that out, and then I immediately felt better. And every time I went back to the worry, I would read it again. And you know, last night he came home and he cleaned his room, and he's been here all, I mean, it's like this huge transformation just because of my change in me.
Correct, because you shifted. You shifted, and
exactly.
You weren't feeding on, you weren't manifesting, you refused to manifest the negativity any longer, and you actually surrendered, in a sense, to what is going to happen, the universe will take care of, and you let your fears go. And once your fears went, then the natural balance of things started to come into play, and you've seen a manifestation. And it was also a confirmation to tell you, okay, Mom, you could chill back a little bit. Things are okay. I'm just riding my journey a little bit, but things aren't as drastic as you think. So that must have been a total release for you.
It was, and it was a confirmation of something that I've taught myself 100 times, it seems. Some of these lessons you just have to keep teaching yourself again and again until it's almost like a bad dream where you start the dream and you start moving through the dream and you've done it a million times, the same exact dream. And then one day you're going through the dream and you think to yourself, wait a minute, before.
Yeah, I'm not down
I've
for this.
I played this.
Correct.
What?
I'm not down for this anymore. Yes.
Yeah, I've played this before. I'm not going to play it again. This is just a dream, and I have control of it. And that's what I meant by coming up to the surface. It's like suddenly you realize, shit, I've done this before. I don't want to do this anymore. That's not who I want to be now.
Absolutely. That's the key. This, I don't want to do this no more. I've done this before. I've experienced this emotion. This emotion doesn't serve me anymore. So now I'm letting it rise to the surface. I'm acknowledging it, letting it rise, and then I'm releasing it because I don't want to be part of it no more. And there you go. Then the chain reaction starts because now that's another step towards a higher frequency. That's another step for energy to become lighter, and that denseness that creates the negativity no longer creates the fear because you have met it head on. Does that make sense to you? So it's a very cool thing.
Absolutely.
It's a very cool thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely, a miracle, really, that you can change what's inside of you and have your experience change. Because we're such co-creators, there's this mingling of energy and belief between us that when we decide to believe one thing, it changes the experience of someone else and vice versa.
Oh, my God. I always say that. We are the only species who screws it up because before we even let it play out, we have created 100 scenarios, and we miss the moment totally. We don't take the pleasure in the moment because we're worried about how it should play out, and then we're totally back to square one. So, yeah, I totally understand you, and I totally agree with you there because it's like a cluster buster. It screws with you, you know?
Hey, Teresa?
Yeah. Yes?
What do you think is the big aha that people have when they come to the seminars and everything that you teach?
You know what? I don't even look at them as ahas, to be honest with you, because I look at it as everybody trying to release something and everybody finding their ways. And most of the things, the biggest thing that really most of humanity is conditioned to is fear, because we're taught fear. We're taught fear. Fear keeps the mass population in line. But once people overcome their fear, then all the other stuff, and it could be like facets of so many things, start to dissipate. Like I don't like to like kind of classify certain things because we're all screwed up in so many ways. You know, when we begin this journey and we're so, you know, we're starting to, you know, become aware and peel our layers away that it could be a variety of things. But if you were to pin me down, the aha, the people, it's the fear of no stability, the fear of just going so fast-paced that you're just working to sustain yourself, but you're never really living. There's no life fulfillment for individuals. So how do we come back? And again, it's the all goes on inner work, because once you're comfortable within yourself, then all the things that give you that aha moment that make you like so crazy, you know, you start to understand them. But most people, though, they just want to, people, humanity is really wants to live in love and cooperation. It's just that we screwed it up. We really became so so cloistered that now it's like a big rush, you know, like the big gold rush. Everybody's striving to get there. But as Pam said before, it's process. So we have to go through the process in order to get it right. Otherwise, we're back at square one, if that kind of makes sense to you.
Yes. I think, you know, the interesting thing about a lesson I'm going through right now is learning how to surrender.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The surrender part seems to be easy, at least for me. The problem I have is the other piece that goes with it, which is trust.
Mm. And that will come, because that's another thing. People want their spirituality to happen instantaneously. Well, you know, there's many layers that cause a person to become stagnant sometimes or blocked. So I say go slow on yourself, because you're striving every day, and every day you're learning, and every day it's an experience. And like we said before, you're going to have great days where the process is going to go, you're going to be like, wow, this is miraculous. And then, as you said, trust is an issue for me. So now that's a block for me. So I got past the surrendering, but did I really get past the surrendering? Because I can't trust enough to let it fully go. So now then, what remnants or what's the triggers that make you feel that way? And then you work on it from there. And that's a process. And that's different growth periods for different people. So just keep working on it. And then one day you're like, screw it, I'm just going to trust, because what's the worst that could happen? And again, I always am a big advocate of using your intelligence. We are intelligent beings. We would have to be extremely arrogant to think that, you know, we are not, or we cannot, you know, expand into higher consciousness. We sure can. So just keep all those things in mind and use your intelligence and do what's right for you. Don't become a puppet on a string. And I preach that all the time, because that's when people get tripped up. That's when then you become stagnant, because then you become a follower again. Everybody contributes something in this. How is it put? One small voice now could reach millions of people, where before it was only a select few. So use your experience, and, you know, as you just keep going, just keep going. That's my advice. I don't know. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does. There's something I was going to mention to Pam, which I was remembering is, you know, Pam was teaching me once, and this kind of went with what she said earlier about sometimes you wonder, you know, is the vibration at the right level of what, you know, where creation is going?
Yeah.
And the reason why that kind of came up for me is, you know, there was one time that I was talking to Pam, and she said something along the lines, and you can correct me on this one, Pam, but you had said something along the lines of, there's the creation of the higher self and everything that's being created for you, and you just have to raise your vibration to get to that level because it's moving so fast at a higher level. Does that ring a bell, Pam?
Yeah. What that means is that when you develop a beingness for yourself, in other words, if you want a new creation to happen, that creation, if you add a lot of love to that creation and you really feel it, it's moving very quickly, and you've got to match that vibration in your beingness. In other words, who am I being right now? Am I being someone that can have that much energy, that can feel that much? And if you can't match it, it doesn't happen. And the way you match it, the way that you match it is to create a scene in your mind to convince your body that it's already real. And without, I was actually going to mention this to you, Teresa, because the thoughts occurred to me more than once, and I have made huge leaps and bounds in my own consciousness by creating, instead of creating a new car or money or clothes or whatever it is, the material things that drive us and certainly that we need to cope in this civilization, shifting my attention to creating a beingness of a spiritual master, a spiritual teacher, a spiritual someone that's truly connected on a very high level. Mm-hmm. And you know what you were saying about channeling and how it just happens all by itself? Well, generating that on purpose. Like I know for sure that everything that we experience is an agreement in consciousness. And you can, but you can break that agreement in consciousness and do things like show up in two places at the same time, or, you know, and yogis have proven it many times through the years. So if that's true, then certainly you can create yourself as anything you want it to be and bypass all of the pain, because if the pain, if you don't have attention on the pain, mm-hmm. and you automatically create yourself as something else, my guess is that it would just sort of fade away and you would become that energy that you were choosing to be.
Well,
what
let
do
me
you
ask
think
you
about
this.
That? That's quite
well,
a question.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you experimented with it, and can you say that you have manifested it for yourself? Have you done exercises? The very same thing that you're talking about. Have you experimented with it? Have you put it into play in your life?
Well, the truth is that the answer is yes.
Okay.
I've been experimenting for years. I've shown up in two places at the same time as an example. I have been able to break the bounds of the physical universe, and I've also been able to reach my spiritual goals, but not on a consistent basis. And the reason it's not consistent is because the body only follows the spirituality of the soul or the mind to a certain point, but then the body pulls you back because of neural programs.
Density, yes. But that's also shifting to their proving. That's what a lot of people now are preparing for. If you noticed, have you noticed that people's eating habits are totally changing? And I'm talking about people that are really becoming awakened. They're getting more lighter, and it's all to do with the energy. And for the very things that you just mentioned, you were in two places at one time, body has to be prepared for that, and you're right. We have not been able to push the bodies beyond to its full capacity. But I think that's changing too now. But don't you also feel that to get to that zone, to get to that state, to experience the paradox that you're talking about, you had to be dedicated. You had to believe beyond a measure of what people could see. And that's what I'm talking about. And those are the things now that are coming out into the open. How do we achieve this? This is not just for a scientific experiment anymore. Science and the supernatural do go hand in hand. What we were taught that it was separate, we're finding out that that's a total hoax. And now everything is coming to light. So, yeah, I could totally agree with you. I just, you know, I have
all right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. It's great having you on.
Oh, God, it was so quick. It was great speaking with you guys.
Wait, we're not done.
and as always, Pam, thanks for being here. And
you're
great
welcome.
Night.
It's always a pleasure.
Oh, Pam, it was great to speak chatting with you tonight. I really enjoyed it. And you too, Mark.
Yeah, you too. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.